on this table. Empty. So Maria made eggs.
Yeah.
And you made sausage.
That's great. Well,
like I used to. Tammy made muffins, egg muffins. Maria made eggs. So if I make eggs, so we overkill. Of eggs, right?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know what's out there. So,
but look,
whatever.
she made.
Give me some eggs and sausage then.
What kind of
Why? It's doing my work. Respond the bugging guys.
Right across.
Who are they, stupid? Did you get my last email? I told you to disregard that.
Yep.
Found it. Okay, thanks. I appreciate you doing that.
No problem.
Hey.
Yeah.
Just trying to get this set up.
Anyway.
Get everybody going on the Zoom.
I hear you. You're the techie, huh? Oh, boy.
For today.
We're actually complying. I know it's on us.
Hey, this is a quick mic check. Can you guys hear us?
I can hear you.
Yes, I can hear you.
Yes.
No. But
okay, three of us said something and you didn't respond. So
I'm sorry, I heard you guys. Yeah, I heard you guys.
Thanks,
you. Mike.
You did ask for a mic check, right?
Yeah, a Michael check.
I came by.
Um, Give me just a second. I'm trying to enable the waiting room to let everybody in, and then we'll probably get started. Kurt's on Zoom. You got Kevin, myself, Jeff, and Thomas here. So, hey, board members, we probably need to get up here. Get started. It's almost 9 o'clock. Thomas.
Yeah, really nice guy, and I think he's going to do it.
That's a given, I think.
Yeah, it's like carp rodeo, you know.
You getting their place all dialed in?
He's doing it on a grant.
That's like a forever job.
Right.
If there's enough, so he'll be coming in.
Inside or outside?
Inside.
Inside?
Yeah, 22 foot in the peak. Oh, not fine.
Yeah. Yep.
Morning, Kay. Morning.
How you doing?
How you doing?
Good.
I got your message like yesterday that you'd be good for doing.
See you in town.
How you doing, buddy? Good to see you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. My wife says, "Well, hey, were you gonna go show Tom Cavanaugh?" I'm like, "I don't know. He hasn't responded."
No, I just saw it like last night, and I probably sent it to you like on Sunday or something, and then I got up here on Monday, and I just the connectivity is so poor. Without having Starlink or something, it takes 10 minutes for my Gmail box to email. Communications were really tough. And I met with the DNR guy.
Yeah.
So, Kate, I met with the Nick Dashtrip on Thursday. So, I want to talk about that a little bit.
Well,
it sounds like a really good program.
I haven't contacted them yet, but I'm just kind of waiting and seeing what's in the wind. I don't even know if I qualify because I'm not adjacent to any mitigation.
So doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I thought you had to be adjacent to it.
Wow.
I don't know.
Not out.
I don't know.
Originally, that's kind of how he posed it to Brent and I when we walked around with him. But then, later he said no.
That. Somebody else said the same thing, and I'm going, well.
Hey, for those on Zoom, sorry, I'm trying to get it so that I can just let everybody in automatically, disable the waiting room. But. Giving me grief.
Oh, yeah, no, go ahead.
I'll talk about it.
It could be insane not to want to do fire mitigation in some form. I just don't want to put it on my property.
Exactly.
I might just monitor it.
Because they got hang crews too.
Yeah.
Depending on how many properties he's going to do, it can either be a hand crew or he can bring in a barrel. No matter which way you go, if you tell him to leave the conifers, he will. It'll be a contract between the landowner and the state. And the state will manage the conifers.
Oh, you tell them. You don't have to tell me twice, but
yeah.
We're helping them.
Yeah, that's good to know. I mean, I think, yeah, that's a great thing to share.
And he can also use that. They would complete that road and they wouldn't have to rely on.
Hey, Kurt, I'm just going to go ahead and get the agenda shared and then we can probably get started.
Okay, thanks. Can you put the agenda up?
Yeah, that's what I'm doing right now.
Okay. Our printer started smoking last night.
It's not good.
No, we have some serious electrical issues.
Yeah, well, probably forever before we can ever get gravel up there, but I know. Another thing we got in your area, and I got to follow up with Larry, is there was a plug in the washout along south of Christina and north of Nuggets. That area is really washed out. Really.
Yeah.
Water back up on the road. We're going to clear that.
So it looks like Larry's got a piece of equipment out there right now.
He might be doing it.
He's gone. Well, all right. I saw
a grader.
Nice grader. Right. I didn't even know Larry.
Okay, I'm going to try and monitor the waiting room. But Kevin, go ahead. Or Kurt, go ahead and get started.
Kevin, Pool, would you be so kind as to lead us in a prayer?
Everybody listening. Hey, everybody, we're going to go ahead and get started.
Kevin, could you lead us in a prayer?
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, this beautiful weather, the gathering here on the ranch. Father, we pray for wisdom, guidance, and direction, Lord, for peace and for community. Father, we ask that you bless our efforts in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.
Thank you. Can you scroll up a little bit? Okay, there we go. Roll call.
Yeah, so everybody on Zoom, if you just put your number against your name, I can just take it from there. But we'll go around here on the for people that are actually present, you know, in person. So we got Ezra and Maria.
Castle's 130.
Cool, 64. Cena, 218.
McNichol, 270.
And Tammy?
Tammy, 239.
Cena, 121.
And then board members present, we have Kevin Poole, Thomas LeClaire, Jeff Collins, and Kate Hoff. And then so Mike and Kurt, I think, are online. Bart, I don't think I saw Bart join, but he said he probably wouldn't make it. So
this one's for Mike McNichols. I also go as Tina's husband.
Tina's husband? Okay.
He said that once to me.
Okay, so minutes were sent out to the board members. Were there any adjustments other than misspellings of names?
Just the DNR thing that I'll talk about.
Well, that's agenda. Oh,
no, minutes.
So minutes.
Minutes are fine.
Minutes. Kurt, Michael, any
all
changes
good
to the minutes? Okay, make a motion that we approve the minutes from last month.
I second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Kurt or Kevin, were you?
I'm going to abstain because I wasn't
present. Okay. Minutes are approved. Go ahead, Kurt.
Yep. Treasury report, Michael Jordison.
Oh, we got to approve the agenda first. And
I approve the agenda.
Well,
we so
board members have board members have additional items they want to add to the agenda. So Tom wants. Yeah, Tom wants to talk a little bit about the fire mitigation. He met with them. So,
okay.
Are there any other agenda items that people here want to add?
I don't want to add, but because I'm driving and may lose service, I would like to shuffle around and talk about the insurance as part of the treasury report, if everyone's okay with that.
I'm fine with that. Good.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're adding Thomas to talk about the fire stuff and changing the order. Any other changes? Okay, make a motion that we approve the agenda as we just discussed.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Hey, Michael, it's you.
Oh, all right.
Good start.
Let me
Is he asked to go first? He's not even ready.
Yeah, that's what I was going to. He's not even prepared.
Oh, all right. So we'll just cover the account balances. $221,000 in our checking, $21,947 in savings, and we have about $119,000 in CDs, although approximately $11,000 of that is the annual fund CD, so that's not technically reserve funds. P&L was sent out. There were three questions sent to me on the P&L. I can answer two. I didn't get a chance to look up the miscellaneous. Question one was the fencing, and I can't remember the exact line item name. Sorry. If somebody's got it in front of them, they can bring it up. Jeff or Tina. I don't know who it was that asked, whether it was Jeff or Tina. But that was the fencing around the upper well source, keep the cattle out. I don't know what's more. It started in December of 2025 and wasn't finished until 2026. There was no way to break up portions from one side to the other. I mean, it just all goes. It's over budget, I guess, was the question. You know, we do our best to try and figure out what things are going to cost, and that went over a little bit. Second item was websites. That is the GoDaddy registration and emails, I believe. That registration is for the next 10 years. So it's about, and if you break it up, it's about $200 a year. The miscellaneous, I didn't have a chance to pull up and look at, so I will get back to you and either email you directly or text you or whatever. But I'll pull the details of that account and figure out what that is. Are there any other questions?
So that's a 10-year contract now?
Yes, it was for 10 years. That was the cheapest, easiest, best way to fix what happened with the website.
So we shouldn't have any more payments going forward for the next 10 years at least?
No, because GoDaddy likes to do things a la carte. So we may have SSL or other fees, and I would have to go back to the list. But I think we removed everything that we weren't using.
But I guess the question is, so was it a prepaid for 10 years for the $200? So it was $2,000? I didn't even look at the line item. Or are we...
Yeah, it's like $2,100 or something.
Gotcha. But there will still be other fees.
Yes, it's like $2,100.
For the hosting portion.
There could be.
Okay.
There could be. I have to go back through the list. I think we have four emails that are separate from the main account that we pay a separate fee for. But I'd have to go through that list of what's on there. We removed everything we weren't using. We were paying for database maintenance and other stuff that was left over from the old reservation system. And I'll recover this again. I mean, we talked about it, but I'll recover it again. When I removed all of that, I was trying to be very clear with the rep at GoDaddy I was talking to that we still needed FTP access, but we needed to remove all of this other garbage. They took us down to a single page, static page, nothing, no FTP access, couldn't update anything. And it canceled the old contract. And in order to get the contract back, this was the only available option that made any sense.
No, I just wanted to clarify.
No, I tried to get...
We prepaid for 10 years, right, is what... I just want to clarify, we prepaid for 10 years. So I think we're good.
Yes, for the hosting service and some of the emails.
Sounds good.
And domain reg.
Domain registration, that is correct. So that is, yes, all of that is correct.
Hey, thanks, Michael.
Any other questions on the P&L? All right. I'll move on to, there is something else. Reserve study. The site inspection was done a couple weeks ago now. He's working on that. He has a 6-week turnaround to when the board will get the first review of the independent reserve study. Thank you, Jeff, for stepping in and taking him around all the cabins and making sure he got to point A to point B to point C. I still have some information to get him. The reserve funds currently, last year's P&L, this year's budget, those kind of things. And I'll get those to him this weekend. Any questions on the reserve study?
I'm good.
And that will come in under budget. Yay. Something under budget. Insurance. We did meet with Caleb to talk about insurance, property insurance. Some of that is still outstanding. Property insurance. We've kind of taken the stance that what we have been offered for $22,000 to $26,000 does not do us any good. They don't cover wildfire. So if a wildfire comes through, too bad, where the old one did cover. And there's other exclusions that just didn't make sense for the amount of money that we were paying or gonna pay for that property insurance. One of the brokers that I've been working with has a renewed effort to try and get us property insurance that's reasonable. And I don't even care about the price, but the coverage is the thing that's killing us. You know, that kind of money and not cover anything, it just doesn't make sense. We're just throwing the money away at that point. Directors and officers insurance. We did find a substitute, a replacement. Everything looked great. It was absolutely comparable with our old, if not a little better in some cases. We signed all the paperwork, getting ready to send the check and pay it. And their second review, or second auditor, or second adjuster, whatever, when looking through the governing documents, said, "You guys have an airport," and pulled their quote. So we have reached back out. The broker is looking at other alternatives. We have reached back out to that agency or that carrier and said, what will it take to become eligible again? Do we have to pull it off the FFA website? Do we have to pull it out of documents? Do we have to close it, you know, verbally? To my knowledge, nobody's currently landing on it. To my knowledge, there's no current waiver. There's a specific airstrip landing agreement. I don't know that there's any current landing strip agreements with any lots. I will follow up with Danielle and verify that, but I think that's an annual signage. And I don't know that anybody's currently using it, which would mean nobody has signed it. So we're waiting on the carrier to get back with us to find out what needs to be done. The first question somebody's going to ask is, why does an airport matter for directors and officers insurance? And that was our first question. The answer to that is, an airport adds operational and regulatory complexity far and beyond what standard HOA board should be governing. And with that complexity comes complex risk. And that's why they refused to honor what they sent us to begin with. I know I'm missing stuff, so ask your questions, engage in conversation. What do you want to know? And I'll do my best to answer.
So, Michael, on the airport subject, I got just a couple comments. So both Jeff and I have reached out to other airport operators, and my brother's a life flight pilot. Everything I'm seeing says that we don't have to be registered even to have emergency landings or whatever on the airstrip. Registrations just kind of protects us if in the future somebody wanted to build or wanted to restrict it or build something or develop or whatever. That way, that's the only advantage that I'm seeing, and then there might be some advantages for the actual person flying the aircraft to get insurance. You know, that like technically they can't land on a non-FAA approved one. Along those lines is kind of the feedback I'm getting. So my recommendation would we'd be reach out to the people that might or have signed the waiver in the past, or we know have landed in the past, let them know what the situation is. And just, I mean, it's kind of, for me, it was more of a status symbol. Hey, we got an airport. But if we can land there, maybe it's better for us just to remove that FAA registration and proceed forward. But I think the next step would be reaching out to the,
well, we don't know that removing the FAA registration even matters to the carrier. We need to wait and find out what their response is to what we need to do to become eligible again. Just doing a knee-jerk reaction and pulling the FAA registration doesn't do us any good. We have to make sure that that relieves the liability on the carrier and on us in order to continue.
Understood. But I think it'd still be worthwhile to reach out to the members, too, and to see who's actually using it, just so we're prepared once that comes about.
I don't disagree with that. Yes.
Let's put a note when we send the minutes out or after this meeting. Let's ask the members to comment on their feelings about the airstrip, because I think, you know, one of the other options that we have to consider is, I don't think it's just a matter of FAA registration. It's going to be the liability that asset, or it's not even an asset, it's a liability, how that affects our qualifications for getting insurance. So we have to consider a full decommissioning, which isn't hard. You change the registration with the FAA, you put up the signs, you take down the windsock, and it's not an airstrip anymore.
So the things you're talking about bring up a...
It's not. No one uses it.
Has anybody talked to Larry Clarkson about it? If he was actively involved in all the airstrip, you know, rehab and remodeling operation over the last 40 or 50 years.
We have not reached out to anybody yet. It's just been internal discussion. We're just finding it now. That's what I think we need to do, a little bit more investigation just on our side, but both with people that use it and then probably, you know, people that have maintained it. Recently we did have to re-register it and just make sure everything was accurate. So we are registered. We are active. I know how to deactivate it if we need to get to that route, but whether or not we do it or not, I think we still need more information. But anyway, Michael.
Well, it doesn't matter how it was maintained or governed or anything. The carriers flat out say, if you have an airport, we want nothing to do with you. Mm-hmm. And there are no current carriers. So there are several HOAs in Utah that do have landing strips. The one Jeff reached out to was moved to an LLC, set aside private, so it's not governed under the HOA. Maybe an option.
Right.
There are two, there's an airport by Hurricane, but they are multi-million dollar homes along the side. They're paying whatever they need to pay to do whatever they need to do. I've tried to contact them. They won't have any discussions. There's another one in Duchesne, or just outside of Duchesne. I've attempted to contact. I will continue. But, we're kind of stuck. The insurance. Okay. So the 30-year-old policies we're replacing. Things have changed not only in the insurance industry, but also in society. Things that were acceptable in the 80s and 90s are not acceptable for the insurances today. For example, the property insurance, we are in a high-risk fire zone, and with the fires in California and other areas, they're just saying, we don't want nothing to do with you. And that's the uphill battle we're struggling is insurance tolerances have changed, and society has changed in what's acceptable.
Well, I think back to Thomas's point, even irregardless of the insurance, liability-wise, is that something responsibly we want to take on if nobody's using it, right? So anyway, I think there's, I don't think we're going to make a decision or discussion today, but.
No, no, but our liability insurance didn't care.
Yeah.
I mean, that's so we have to be talking about the right policy for the right application. And for liability, they don't care. Property insurance cared about the fire danger, the airport. They didn't care about the ponds or even the dam. Red Reservoir is considered a dam. They don't care about it. But they did care about the fire danger. You know, and the DNO, the added complexity for us as board members managing something that goes beyond what normal HOAs do, it was beyond their tolerance. So no, we're not going to come to a conclusion today. We're still waiting for feedback from the carrier. I mean, I'll follow up Monday or Tuesday, but Heather was quite clear when I talked to her and said, you know, I can't give you any information that I don't have. As soon as something comes in, I will give it to you. You know, but I will continue to follow up. Any other questions or comments? Sorry, just I rambled. One real
quick, Michael. Have you asked them about the possibility of an exclusion of the airport and still writing the standard DNO policy?
Yes, and that was denied.
Okay, thank you.
So one more comment on our discussion with the attorney. We are evaluating, or the attorney felt that the property insurance was not reasonably available, then we have a claim. There's a process we have to go through of notifying all the members, et cetera, in order to actually determine that it's not reasonably available. So we've done an analysis between the ones that we've been given. We're still trying to pursue other ones. But there's a possibility, and again, we're not to that point yet, but there's a possibility that we just have to say it's not reasonably available, notify all the members, and maybe each year try and run through this process again and go from that. So that's one of the options that is on the table. Again, we're still discussing that with the attorney. He's looking over the policies and kind of going from that perspective. So just kind of wanted to give an update to the board. You know, for Michael and I that met with him, that's one of the options that we're considering, is just not having insurance, but then having to go through a legal process to notify everybody.
You're only talking about property insurance.
Property only, yep. So at this point in time.
Yeah, I mean, DNO, I mean, at this juncture, we can't get anybody to cover us. So so DNO in the state of Utah is optional. And apparently there are a lot of HOAs that do not have DNO coverage, which to me is wow. But I did find out that that is an optional item not required under Utah law.
And that is more protection for us as board members, not necessarily, it doesn't protect the members per se, but it.
Correct.
Makes people hopefully willing to serve on the board.
Yes.
Hey, that's all the comments I had on insurance. Any board members have any questions, discussions here? Kurt?
I'm good. That's I've been pretty updated on that, so I'm waiting patiently.
I've tried to keep the board updated, but I mean, we needed to update the membership at large as well, which is why we're having this discussion now. Is there anything else on the agenda that I need to talk about?
So the only one you missed was past due accounts. I don't know if we've got a number.
Yes, my apologies. We have a lot of, most of our past due accounts are now current. I think there's only two that are more than 2 years old. They have until the end of this month to pay and then or go to collections. So that's all we're waiting on is the end of this month. The two biggest accounts that were 2 and 3 years past due are all caught up, which is good. I mean, you can see that on the P&L. We've almost met our budget. You know, I think we're only a few hundred dollars shy of our budget. So most things are getting caught up quickly.
So that probably answers the other question too. So last month we had about 30 that still were outstanding. So that, I'm assuming that number's come down as well.
Yes, I haven't looked at the exact numbers, but yes, it's come down quite a bit.
Good to hear.
Very good to hear. If that's all for Michael, do you have anything else, Michael?
No, I don't have anything else.
Okay, does anybody else have any more questions for Michael? Then we're going to move on to Ezra, property manager report. Kate, can you scroll up a little bit, please?
Yeah, I just got to move a bunch of stuff out of the way. Go ahead, Ezra.
So everything's going really good on reservations, and I think we're about booked full for June. There's been a couple cancellations, but other than that, everything's going good as far as the reservations. We've been trying to do a deeper clean on the cabins to see if we can bring that clean standard up, and kind of want to talk a little bit about making it easier for the members to clean up after themselves too, whether we supply the cabin with a vacuum or have a place that they can go and get a vacuum for their cabin. That's just a few ideas I had for the board to talk about when they do. But other than that, everything's going good. We've got a little bit more than half the cabins up and clean. I think, yeah, we probably only have about two left to deep clean and get going. As far as all the little fixits and things, we've just been focusing on cabins for the last bit. So they're doing pretty good.
So are you hauling water yet for the cows? Kind of settle those.
Oh, I have been. For the cows that got out here along Skunapah, I've been hauling water there.
So they're not supposed to be there right still?
As far as I understand, he was going to come and get them within a week, but I think it's been a little over that. I think I've hauled water 3 times.
But I think there's a couple even up further.
That too.
Yeah, so we might want to reach out to them, just kind of see what the plan is.
They were at Broad Hollow when I came down.
Yeah.
They're everywhere.
They're everywhere.
They're down the wash. Right. Well, I didn't see them in the forest this year yet, but they're yeah, they're up Meadow Canyon. They're up Broad Hollow. They're everywhere. They're everywhere.
I've seen a few put over by slide, too.
Supposedly they're rogue. They've gone rogue. They're not
got
supposed
loose
to be
over
there
the years.
I guess. I don't know.
The cattle have always been here this time of year on the private.
Right, but what we're saying is I think they're in the wrong areas, and Kevin actually said that. So is that something you want to follow up with, Kurt?
I will. I'm calling him later today.
Okay.
I know he's been out at Clark Bench a lot. He's missing cows there. He's missing cows in several places. So he's not available. He's out in the woods hunting for cows.
Well, some of them are up here. Maybe he needs to find them up here.
I told him.
All right. Okay, anything else, Ezra?
That's it for now, unless somebody else has for me to talk about.
Just on your ideas for making sure that the cabins are adequately stocked for members to clean up after themselves, or whatever that standard is or should be. If you want to write up a proposal to the board, then we can review that and have a discussion, a quality discussion around it.
I got a few ideas
that
I think would make it easier for members and easier for us.
Yeah.
So some of the cabins don't just a hard surface. Do you still think a vacuum was needed?
I think it really would help.
And vacuum.
Yeah, I think a vacuum would quite help.
They really do help.
I mean, garden cabin especially probably needs a vacuum.
because it's got the carpet and stuff upstairs. But
for chairs and stuff, what about just a lint roller, like a sticky?
Well, they have the reusable ones, because you'll go through.
Yeah, yeah. But you can buy a 6-pack for $5.
Yeah.
I think the board already kind of talked to, I think most of the boards are already in favor of lint rollers. The vacuums are a little bit more expensive, but may not be a bad.
I think there's.
Even if we stock
a few battery pack.
So we wouldn't have to buy one for every cabin. Want to?
When someone has like it, that. They can stop and. I don't know.
I think, you know, provide us some of your suggestions and let us review. And I think we're open to.
And then Jeff's got a fine budget. The cabin's fine. It's gonna be fine.
Come on. It's only May.
I don't even know what lines those fall on.
No, understood. But it's just, we'll move through it. It's all right.
Okay. Zoom board members, anybody got any other questions for Ezra?
Nothing here.
Are you guys hearing the conversation here outside with okay too? Like, did you hear Ezra?
Yeah.
I heard mostly. Yeah, I'm going in and out of service here in this canyon. So, but yes,
oh, that's your fault. That's not our fault.
I know.
Okay, so let's go to the open forum, 2 to 3 minutes each. Please keep your feedback limited to the topics. Does anybody have any comments, discussion they'd like to bring up on the agenda?
I'm not seeing any hands here.
Okay, so let's move on to new business. Cabin cleaning enforcement. You want to take that over, Cade?
Yeah. So, obviously, we're trying to keep the cabins cleaner. Currently, the rules state that if there's any pet hair or feces, there's a $100 minimum charge if the cabin's left with those in there. And then if it's not clean, then we have actual costs of cleaning. So, bare minimum, I feel like we need to enforce this a little bit more, just in fairness to our ranch managers and for people coming and follow on. You know, their contract isn't actually to clean up after everybody after they leave kind of scenario. So right now the rules actually have the pet hair feces as $100 minimum charge if those are left. There is a $25 charge if you want to even bring your pet. So there's kind of those two pet related charges. And then not clean right now is actual costs. And we kind of need to determine what those actual costs are, if that's an hourly rate or if that's a minimum, et cetera, that way. But need to start enforcing that and make sure that the members are aware as we're enforcing it. I think notices and et cetera are all posted fairly well, and it goes out on the emails, and there's a pet waiver that they have to sign. So I feel like we're doing fairly good communicating it, but we haven't enforced it for quite a while. So just want to open discussion with the board members about standardizing that enforcement and getting that in place.
So you're probably going to get asked, what's the $25 fee for if we're going to get billed $100?
Well, the $25 is just to bring your pet. The $100 is, I mean, it's fairly common at hotels and stuff like that to have a fee just to bring your pet. And then if you don't leave it, if you leave it clean, then that's all you pay. But if you don't leave it clean, then there's a $100 charge minimum.
Yeah, but a hotel comparison is not really fair because you don't clean up at all after yourself. You leave, period.
Yep.
So when I've reached out to different Airbnbs and stuff about a pet fee, it's based off of they're probably going to find pet hair.
They're going to have additional steps to turn the room.
They have to clean up urine stain off the floor because a dog peed on the floor or things like that. So essentially that fee is for cleaning purposes.
Well, I think there's two conversations here. There's a member and how we handle members, and then there's a contract discussion, which is for an executive session. So as far as the members are concerned, nothing has changed. We have it in writing. We, I think, have twice now, or at least once, implemented the fine.
We actually haven't charged the fine yet because, I mean, I think it's been discussed, but for the not clean, we actually need to notify members within 72 hours. Okay. So we didn't respond fast enough for the not clean. The pet hair feces doesn't have that 72 hour restriction on it. So I think that one we can probably go ahead and just do, but there's, again, those are the current actual rules without modifying or changing any rules. I think we need to, we can enforce those.
Well, and the pet hair feces is pretty clear. I mean, there's no room for discussion there as far as what it says. It says, if any. And I mean, that's one pile of feces. I mean, that's it. The rule's pretty clear. That's all I'm
saying. It is, but if we go back to what Cade first said, which is, or maybe Ezra brought it up or someone else, you know, is the cabin adequately supplied for a member to get the pet hair off of the upholstery?
So, but is that our responsibility?
That would be my thing. Is that our responsibility? I mean, we didn't bring the pet, so.
But you charged me $25 to bring a pet.
Well, that's got to be for something.
I understand that. That's the privilege of having a pet in the cabin.
No.
That's how I've always looked at it. When I rented the cabins and I brought my pet, it was for me to be able to bring my pets.
You don't pay for privileges.
But it's a special dispensation or whatever that way, right?
But you can bring six kids.
Yeah,
that's fine.
Yeah, but if I bring 10,
if I bring a dog. Oh, heaven forbid! I got to pay $25.
But if I
don't think so.
What if my dog sleeps in the truck?
You still have to pay it. That's per the rules. That's what it says. So again, you guys,
it's not a privilege. It's a money grab.
Okay. So if you want to change that, I think that's a totally different discussion. That's a rule change. You guys don't like the rules the way they were established, and we need to change the rules.
Things are going
to
swing in roundabouts too. There's going to be people that are there by themselves, bring a sleeping bag, and there's virtually no cleanup. And we have to kind of play the averages. We have to be fair with the members on how we're going to treat, you know.
Well, ideally, there should be no cleanup at all. The responsibility, there is no cleanup responsibility of the ranch managers.
Right.
And I fair agree with the ranch manager on the amount of extra effort to clean up.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And that's the other discussion. That's the contract discussion.
Well, that's the point. There shouldn't be anything extra on the ranch managers if everything is doing what it's supposed to be doing.
Well, we used to have a policy that before a fine was put on somebody, it was a 30-minute window to turn the cabin. If it took more than 30 minutes to clean the cabin, then some attention is put to the matter.
That was just kind of your internal process when you were...
That was my internal process, and I'm just, you know, just I put a time limit on a fair time limit on how long it took. I gave a little more time for cabin one and garden cabin, but 30 minutes is, it just gives us a window. So I spent an hour and a half here, so there's going to be a fee.
But what if you spent 45 minutes? Does that justify a $100 fee?
No.
Why not?
Well, In this case, yes, Jeff, it does, because the rules are very clear in this case.
I understand that. I'm just telling you what I did before, and I'm just...
If we want to change the rules, that's a whole different discussion. We either choose to enforce the rules as they sit, or we choose not to. I mean, that's really, it's that black and white.
I agree.
I'm sorry. I feel that it's that black and white.
So what's the standard, and then what's the process? What's the standard for cleanliness? What's the documentation before I went in, and what's the documentation of policy and process before somebody goes into a cabin? And that's all I'm saying is we got to be straight on what we're thinking and what we're doing before we just
agree
change something or start applying something that's never been applied in the 15 years that I've been here.
No, I agree. And
that's all that is... I just want it to be organized chaos.
Yes. No, Thomas, you and I are on the same page. I agree that we need to do it. But if we have a rule, I mean, we as a board are obligated to enforce those rules. I mean, we have the option, back to what you said.
Either we decide to enforce or not enforce. But I had a relatively brief conversation with my wife about this. She was like, why do I even have to clean? You know, when I go to a hotel, I don't clean, I leave, to Jeff's point. Or what about people who have 2 kids or 10 kids that come up with them? They're supposed to leave their kids in the car while they finish tidy up the cabin. It's, you know, it was a level of complexity in that conversation that I had never considered until she mentioned it to me the other day. Was, you know, for people that are coming up with their families, they got to put everybody in the car, and then it's an hour. Took me 2 hours to clean the cabin this morning with packing and getting myself ready to go. And then she left yesterday. I'm by myself. So took me 2 hours.
So she dodged out on the cleaning. Smart woman.
I know. So we just have to find the right balance and the right application of the rules.
Well, so on the pet feces, I think we got 2 options. One is either we're not ready to enforce it now. We need to update the rules and do whatever because they're not clear enough. But on the pet hair, or feces, it's very clear that if there's any pet hair at all, then there's the $100 fine. And it also is very clear that you're responsible for bringing up anything to prevent the pet hair. So if you want to bring up blankets to put on the covers, or if you want to cover the couches or whatever that way, that those suggestions were already made. So I feel a little bit, I don't know, like we're just going to go around in circles if we're waiting for the rules and stuff to start enforcing. I think we start enforcing it, see how it goes, and adjust rules. If we want to remove the 25, or if we want to just say, hey, it's included in a new future rule, then we do that. But
further in that conversation with my wife, she said, just charge me $50, just like you would an Airbnb. Just put $50 on the invoice for cleaning. Pay the ranch managers the $50 to clean a cabin or whatever it is.
So we've talked about that too. But the problem with that is there's no time, right? So if all 10 cabins left today and now they got to go in and spend 2 hours in every cabin, that's 3 days of cleaning.
Yeah.
But those cabins got to be down. That's you can't. We can't do that.
That's a fair counter. I'm just throwing the.
I brought up before, because some people know that they're not going to clean. If they don't want to clean, they can check out a day early and they can pay to have it clean.
I mean, that's
well, there is options too, where they can make arrangements with the property manager.
We've talked about that, but we've never formalized it. But I think you've expressed willingness if they make arrangements beforehand.
They have to leave earlier so that she has the time to clean.
I think we can publicize some of those options as well. But
yeah, anyway, it's just awareness.
You got to take into consideration hot turns as well.
Right.
Yeah, we're talking about that.
That's where they have to leave earlier if they're not going to clean.
The debate right now about the current pet issue, I would just let it go because they paid the $25. And go forward, give a notification from this day forward. There's not a $25 fee, but if you leave any pet hair, you get $100.
Correct.
Well, that's a rule change, and we can't even discuss that today because we have to give notification to all the members in order to do that.
I would say that's something that we can look at. But what I would advocate for right now is we send the people the notice. You didn't leave the cabin clean. For our policies, we're going to charge you $100. Here's the invoice. And we've waived the fee this time. Next time, the fee won't be waived.
We could do that. Yeah.
For this particular instance, for these two instances.
Correct. Yeah.
And I think we should continue to do that at least partway through the season. We're sending a warning shot across the bow of the membership that if you don't respect the cabins, you're going to pay extra.
We are tightening up on this because.
But I think we have to
commend them. they're doing a fabulous job.
Kevin's getting cabin these, is beautiful when I got
yeah, there. Getting these cabins cleaned up from the get go. And it's absolutely disrespectful to not leave them in the condition that they put them in the first place.
100%.
We'll notice. Leave it, even a crumb, you're going to get they were found. is basically the standard. They weren't left how they were found.
Yeah, the standard is to cleaner than a... Yeah.
Yeah. But...
For me.
And you're 100%. But, like, if you think about getting a really difficult person in that situation, do you have the pictures from before they took possession, took custody? Well, that's very smart on your part. Yeah.
I could walk in and say, I could sleep in here tonight.
Yeah, no. We walked in and it smelled clean. You could tell the effort was put in. So.
Well, I think that's the ultimate objective, and we're all in agreement of that, is that we want to protect that. We just need ways to do that. So going for these two, the decision is to go ahead and invoice them
with the fee waived.
Well, and I think we need to compensate them too for the time.
So that's contract discussion.
We can talk about it later. But okay, so the motion's been made that we send out the invoice, but then waive the fee for this period of time. Is all the board members okay with that process?
Well, there needs to be a second. We need to vote.
I'll second it.
Okay, Jeff seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Kate, aye.
Michael, no. No.
Okay.
I think it's clear. I think we should have built them.
Well, we're also late.
So. I know.
Yeah, sounds good. Okay.
Kate, I need to be clear on something here because I have Bart's proxy and I know Bart feels the opposite. So that vote is mine only.
Understood.
Well, we have the vote.
Yeah. So one other question, I guess, it seems like there's still a lot of discussion around the rules. Bart, you and Bart, we're going to get together and create a rules stuff. Are you ready to have some of these proposals in that? Do we need to have more discussion around the rules in our next meeting, or what's
is?
I think Bart should lead that. We should.
Yeah, Bart is leading.
You can
that.
Bring it up in the next meeting when Bart's here.
Yeah.
Well, but if we're going to discuss it again, we can talk about email with Bart, but. We need to send out the 15-day notice if we're actually going to discuss changing rules in the meeting. So
I can't speak for him, and he's the head of that committee.
Okay.
The only thing I've got is we're going to leave this thing hanging for 30 more days. How many more cleanings are these guys going to have to do that they're not going to be compensated because of our inaction?
We haven't decided to not compensate them.
Right. But... I mean, that's shifting the responsibility onto the other members. Now we're asking 300 other members to subsidize the cleaning for one person who was irresponsible. I have a problem with that.
Yeah. I have the same problem with that, but sometimes.
Well, maybe in conjunction with, hey, we're going to enforce these more, we send out the notice, hey, we are enforcing the cleaning policies. You need to leave them clean to try and prevent that. And then.
Tammy had a suggestion that if you're bringing 10 kids and you know you're not going to clean them up after yourselves,
make arrangements beforehand.
Extra day and let Marie.
And the process for doing that would just be contacting the email, and you guys would be fine with it. Is there amount of time beforehand that you would need notice?
Yeah.
I mean, at the time of rental.
Because if I have several hot turns, because all these lower cabins can do hot turns. Five hot.
But if we tell them before check-in that you have to know, is that or?
Well, you'd have to know when you make the reservation because you would book an extra day that you're not here.
Well, yeah, they would need to know that so they can do that.
So they would actually have to pay for an extra day as part of that requirement.
And then that extra day rental fee could go there, and then we don't have any changes in anything. We just.
I don't think rental necessarily. It depends on how long the cleaning takes. If it's a 4-hour clean,
I had to clean the
Yeah.
bathroom upstairs.
So the requirement is that they book an extra day to facilitate the cleaning, and then they would pay, and they would negotiate actual costs with the
branch managers now.
And they would actually negotiate the actual costs with them.
Yeah.
Okay. I propose.
Is there, right? You know how many people are coming. You know if they have a pet. You know what cabin they're in. You know the dates. You add a day.
So it's not a rule yet, but are we okay sending that out as an email as an option for them to?
I think if they're okay clean. With it, I think it's a, I think it's an option.
We wouldn't know until ahead of time, so I think we pay, have them pay the extra day, and maybe you somehow figure that out. We can talk.
Pay the extra day because the cabin's not available to rent to somebody else, so they have to pay the extra day.
It would be a whole other.
Yeah. I think they go ahead and pay for it. And then, I mean, that's not that much extra. And then the actual cleaning fee might dissuade them, you know, one way or the other, but we have to negotiate that. Okay. I think we work on an email and send that out. This is a board
run like that. And then
for the next 30 days,
the rules and stuff that something needs to be adjusted.
I think any option that improves the situation is open for discussion. And, you know, especially if it's voluntary. If I don't want to clean and I'm willing to rent an extra day and pay the cleanest fee, God bless you.
Yeah, right.
I mean, that's fine. You're not asking any of the other lot owners to subsidize your vacation.
Exactly.
Or if you're as cheap as Jeff and Michael, then you'll just do the cleaning yourself.
No, I don't. She did.
Okay, so I'll work on drafting up.
Waiting.
We'll work on drafting up an email to the members related to that, and I think we're good on this discussion. So, okay, Kurt, I think we're done with that one. I guess I got the next one as well. So,
yeah.
Meeting minutes, I apologize. I've been trying to get them up to the website. And, Michael, if you can hear us, I'm going to need your help again. It wouldn't take my phone number as the validation. So I kind of procrastinated and then got it set up and then was going to do it while I was up here. And then I can't get it back into the system to get them uploaded, but we will get them uploaded for you and go from there. Go ahead, Michael.
If you'll send them to me, I can get them up tomorrow, but I'm not going to connect with you on Mother's Day to work on HOA stuff.
Oh, come on.
But if you get them to me, it will only take me a few minutes to upload them and create the links. I will be happy to do that, and then we can figure out your access and get that taken care of.
Well, all right. Are you going to be around this evening?
I don't know the answer to that. I don't know when I'll be back.
I'll send them to you for now. Yeah, I'll send them to you for now.
Okay.
And get you access. We've already got the meeting recordings from like January and February. So I'll get you the access to the recordings and the others as well, because they both have been asked for. So we'll get those to you, Michael.
That's fine. And I'll get them put up.
Thank you.
Sounds good.
Michael, Cade. Old business. Can you scroll up a little bit, Cade?
Yep.
Rules Modification Committee, that's for Bart. So is there anything there that we should discuss?
Yeah, so I don't think notice was sent out to the members to participate. So we need to come up with, did an email get drafted for Danielle to send to the members?
I'm not aware of one.
So then it's not even an active committee.
Thomas or sure. Cade, can you get that drafted?
Yeah, I'll get something drafted.
Yeah, or I can do it either way.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Well, so on the subject of notifications, we kind of talked back and forth about getting access to the board email so we can send an email from the board. Thomas, are you willing to do that, or you want me to do it? And then once everything's arranged and set as secretary, or
it was proposed, and I don't have a problem with it, but I'm also not pushing for it. I mean, there's been drama in the past, you know, from certain board member taking advantage of having that access and capturing everybody's email. And so I have some trepidation. I think I'm trustworthy. But at the same time, you asked for it to be provided to me, and I'm not pushing for it. If it comes, I'll use it in the appropriate way. I won't abuse it. If it doesn't come, I'm fine with that too, because it's just, it's a liability.
Well, so I do currently have access to all of the board emails and stuff just from the records information that I've got access to. I mean, would it be better for me just so we limit the number of people that do it? And then,
I mean, you're the secretary.
Yeah, have it come from the secretary.
I think that's the way to go.
Duty, because then he has custody of the,
and he's record keeping.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, it's not a multi-stage thing.
And I'm still happy to ghostwrite stuff for the paper.
Okay. Well, I think all of us need to agree on some of the communications to go out. So I'll still involve you guys on the communication, but then.
And when I provide a ghostwriting exercise, I put everybody on it.
Yeah. Sounds good. Okay. So I'll request that from Danielle, because I think it'll be easier to not have to draft something to Danielle, send it to Danielle and ask her to send it out. Being able to send stuff from the board, I think, would be beneficial. It's how we operate. I don't
know that it needs a motion. I'm just asking that question. I'm fine with making the motion if we need one.
We can make it, just cover our butts.
And I move to allow Kate access to the board email for communication purposes.
Second?
Aye.
Right. A second, or give me a second. We need a second.
Are you allowed a second? If you
no, that's why. I didn't want to. Did you guys hear that? All in favor of giving me access to send from the board email?
Aye.
I'm in favor.
Okay.
Aye.
Kate, aye. Or abstain, since it's conflict of interest. I don't. Okay. Well,
you're a board member.
We'll do that.
It's not a conflict.
Okay.
So you're going to be responding to people, members, if they email the board, yeah?
Yeah. And then I'll get the board email set up.
So you're a first responder.
Well, but I will on consultation with the board.
The ability to send from the board at email address. I'm still happy to write the first response or ghostwrite stuff that goes out to people.
Yep.
Thomas has been in charge of that from the beginning.
That they're not getting any responses.
There's been some flex in the process where I was exclusively responding to people, and then someone else or other people started responding to people, and then it's kind of
So I think we're still kind of working through it all.
Kind of free flowing the last couple of months.
A little muddy. So,
we will do better.
So sometimes the questions that get asked, they're not really clear cut, but we should still just provide a, hey, we got your message, and we'll get back to you.
And hopefully this will help facilitate that a little bit. Is it?
Yeah, that's the other thing is that if I write something, everybody else approves it, and then Danielle had to send it out. So we're gonna try and
streamline that a little bit.
Yeah.
Well, and it might be easier for me just to quickly say, hey, we got it. Board's discussing it, exactly. And then we'll get back to you.
It doesn't have to come from me if somebody else.
Yeah. Okay. So I think I worded this next one kind of funny. This was a follow item from last time, Kurt. You were going to go over the onboarding checklist with Ezra. We got that checklist all completed.
I have the onboarding checklist sitting in front of me. I called Ezra the other day. He's been busy. We'll get it done in the next couple of days.
Sounds good. Any updates on the lease? Sounds like he's busy in the spring and we weren't going to get with it.
Yeah, I'm going to call him later today. Hopefully he'll be in service and find out what his schedule is, and then I'll shoot you out an email.
Sounds good. And then on the contracts, I emailed updated contracts. They're in our review folder, but I just did it last night, so I'm sure you guys haven't had a chance to look at them. But
because, I sent you over a...
Oh, yeah, I got to fix the $600
thing. I think Danielle's going to be really happy for $6,000.
Yeah.
60,000.
Oh, it was 60,000. Yeah, she's going to be ecstatic.
She'll slide that one really quick, right?
Like, that's a little excessive.
That's why we have other people review our stuff.
I'll be the administrator for that kind of money. Tell you right now.
So we just need to review those and finalize them and get that moving forward. But they're now available for you guys to look at. Water hauling with the septic permits. So the board, the health board did meet. They did pass the resolution in our favor the way that we want it to go. As they now have that 30-day or 90-day kind of cool-down period where they're giving the counties the time in order to switch over to that. Kane County will be meeting in the Planning Commission on, I think it's the 13th, whatever the Planning Commission meeting is this month. I think it's that one's at 6 o'clock at night on the 13th if you want it to go. They're not anticipating any issues or need feedback necessarily from the members, just to kind of keep track that it's progressing. And then it'll, if that gets passed, then it'll officially get discussed in the council meeting, I think on the 26th. So whatever those dates are, those dates may not be right, but there's a planning meeting at 6 p.m. on around the 13th. And then 10 a.m. is the actual council meeting on the 24th, and then they should pass it there. But it won't go into effect till probably July. So if you guys are looking to do a septic permit, you probably won't be able to apply to the county until July and get it approved. So just wanted to give that update on that. And we already kind of talked about the meeting with the attorney. Michael, did we have anything else you wanted to go over on that? Insurance and the attorney?
No, I think we covered everything. That's still in flux, like, and there's still other discussions that are going to need to be had, but I think we covered it all.
Michael, I'd like to ask a question about that.
Sure, what's up?
Currently, I believe the CCNRs have a provision to indemnify the board to the fullest extent of the law. With the risk of potentially not having D&O insurance coming up pretty soon, I think there's a real potential for the board to vacate not having insurance.
Agreed.
And I would like to discuss or propose that in addition to the indemnification, DSR OA advance legal fees to a board member should the need arise.
So, and I believe that is part of the indemnification that you're talking about, and that is actually on my list for the second round to discuss with Caleb, if we can.
Okay, because I don't think currently we advance fees, but we do indemnify, which is different.
Yeah. All right. And I don't know what state law. State law will trump what is ever in our documents. He was very clear on that when we had our discussion last time. We may have our documents, but if our documents are not in line with state law trumps our documents.
Understood. So
we will seek clarification on that for sure.
And then we need to know in the next, I think, 6 or 7 days so that we can give 15 days notice to the membership before June 1st.
Yes.
If we're going to have it or not have it.
If we're going to do the advancement.
So Cade, we're going to need to set up another 30-minute meeting and try to keep it to 30 minutes this time with Caleb for next week sometime. So you two get together. Yeah. And figure out a time, and I will make whatever time work.
Well, that's my fault. I didn't realize we were trying to limit to the 30-minute, but makes sense last time. So, yeah.
Well, I'm in Dallas next week, 6:30 in the morning until 10:30 at night, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and then I think I fly home Wednesday night or Thursday morning.
So. Well, we don't even know how – Caleb just had a baby, so he's
yes. –
He may or may not be available. We'll have to check availability, but sooner than later, it sounds like. Yeah.
My understanding is later next week, he will be available and back to work. So get with Thomas and you two figure out a time, and I will make that time work no matter what's going on.
Okay, and then we did ask him to do a review of the waiver while we were talking about it, just related to everything, and he has provided that. Michael, I don't know if you were.
So I don't want to get. I ignored that for now because that needs to be an internal discussion presented to the rest of the board, and we'll deal with that next.
That was all I was going to say about it. Yeah, is that we have that back, and we'll be sending that to the board. We just got it this morning, haven't had a chance to review it. So, okay, and then next item on was the insurance, which you already talked about, all of that. Then Bart, did Bart tell you anything about where we're at with the fire warden visit?
No, not to me. He's got several things here. We're just going to have to put them off till next
jump over yep
meeting. Jeff, you so got cabin two rodent remediation.
Yeah. So I've looked at cabin two three times now. On in and around trying to locate where rodents would be coming in, and cannot definitively say where they would be getting in.
Is it a big issue this year?
No, it doesn't. It don't look bad at all. There's a few sponges and stuff that's been pulled out of the cabinets like it was a pack rat or something. There's turds around. There's traps everywhere, but nothing in the traps.
Are there any tree limbs touching or over?
Nope. Nothing. We can't find nothing. Yeah, way up in the.
How are they getting from there all the way down?
No way, they're crawling all the way up there to crawl in there. But we're still. So Ezra and I walked through it yesterday. That was my third attempt. So we have a plan to clean it up, basically. Close that woodpecker hole that she was talking about way up in the eave. There's a couple interior holes going from, you know, like the kitchen to the bathroom that we're going to seal up across those pipes. I don't think that's going to do anything, but it is what it is. And then they're going to clean it like they've been cleaning everything else, and it's going to be beautiful and smell nice and all that stuff. And then open it and watch it, wait for reports, all that other good stuff. And
would it be worth, I mean, it's currently off of the books for right now. Would it be worth cleaning it all up and then maybe putting some traps in there with some nice juicy food? Or is that going to bring them in?
I don't know.
The thing about rodents, and this is from our exterminator in Henderson, rats are smart. And so for a trap to work, you have to have it unset so they get used to seeing it. They can run past it and go over it for a couple of weeks. And then you put a tiny bit of bait in there, and they take it without a consequence. So then, after a week or two of no consequence and free treats, then you set the trap, and that's how you get them. But if you just set it, they're not going to go for it because they're too smart.
And do we want to take the time? I guess the question is, do we want to take the time to try and, or do we open it up as soon as it's clean? And
well, that's kind of what we talked about. So I said, do you think we could make the schedule to just open it at its normal time? And Ezra was saying he probably could, but let's not do that. Since it's closed, let's leave it closed. Gives them time to take their time to get in there and clean it up real good. Expand to foam the couple holes that we found, and then see if evidence shows back up, right? If they clean it all up and there's no turds, and then all of a sudden there's turds, obviously it's still in there. So that's
the approach.
Kind of that's the approach. That we don't see anything substantial that, like, we can say, hey, this is where I think it's happening. Let's address this. Like, there's nothing.
Okay, so we're leaving it closed and then just working from that perspective.
So for now, I'd leave it closed. Plan to open it when it's whatever it's scheduled it's for, or if that other
it's the first part of June.
But didn't somebody message and say something about it screwed up something by a day? I mean, you could fix that if you wanted to.
No, I agree. But, yeah.
But other than that, I'd say we just leave it as it is, and he'll have it ready by that day, cleaned up, and all that stuff, and we'll have a better idea of whether.
Well, potentially rat bait poison the living daylights out of them.
Well, I think they've been using baits, right? Yeah, there and there's in that particular cabin, there's traps everywhere.
Like, there's been baits before, those green.
Yeah, a lot of times they'll carry those all for winter, though. That's the only bad thing about the baits is they will part them off.
I know when we did the cabin committee thing, I put peppermint oil in a garden sprayer and walked around that place spraying walls, ceilings, everything. I mean, it stunk like a peppermint factory.
Well, then you can do red pepper oil from there. Red pepper oil is the next level from peppermint.
I've had great success with the traps just putting peanut butter and a walnut stuck in the peanut butter so they have to work for it. I have killed the living daylights out of pack rats, chipmunks, mice.
See, I take the green stuff and I crush it up and mix it with the peanut butter. So if they think they got away, they're going to have a tummy ache. So that's kind of the approach. I mean, there's.
I guess we'll check in next month and see how it goes.
Clean it up best you can. And the turds are pretty big, so we can't find it. Or where it's coming
in.
It's
not a small hole based on the size.
That's what we're like, we've been in the attics, we've been in the closets. I go, where the heck is this thing coming from?
Well, I got one.
Then maybe it'll go away. But go ahead,
Jeff. Bert. I got one in the live trap one time.
Yeah, there's no live traps in there. I guess we could throw one in there.
I put it by the front door.
Right.
And the next morning, he was in there, but he was dead.
Right. Yeah, so we have live traps around, so we could maybe throw one of those in there too.
Yeah.
That's another trap.
I know, right? It's a different trap.
It's okay, a different well, thank trap, you. Right?
I'm going to move on to the ground fuel storage. I have the EPA paperwork here. I'm just waiting for Bart to come back. And I want to sit down with him, and we're going to go over it. Fill it out. All they're asking is for us to fill out what we have. And so I'm going to get with Bart and we're going to put it together and send it out.
There's a deadline on that. Do you recall what it is?
Well, depends on who you talk to. The last person I talked to is July 1st, 2026. Another person I talked to said it was 2022.
In that email he sent us, we have a new deadline that he gave us and said, I need this before this date. Or am I misremembering? I know the old date he gave us.
Right.
But he also gave us a new, he or she, I don't know if it's a he or she.
It's a she.
So forgive my pronouns here, but.
I spoke with her earlier this week. And I told her that I would be getting this out to her.
All right. Why I'm asking is I'm recalling June 1st of this year was our last deadline before they start levying fines or whatever else.
See, and I was told July 1st.
Of this year or of 2026?
2026, this year.
All right. Bart responded to that email a couple of days ago. I'll pull that back up and go scroll down and just verify that date. I just want to make sure that we're not going to end up with fines if we don't get it done by their drop dead date.
It'll be done it'll be done in the next week.
Perfect. Thank you.
All right, let's go on to Kevin.
Is the plan to just Hey, Kurt, is the plan to just write down what is currently there and send it in and it is what it is?
There's actually two forms. One of them's about 8 pages long and one of them's about 4 pages long. Utah notification for above ground petroleum storage tanks. And it's just page after page of check the box. And it goes into what kind of fuel you have, vapor recovery. Most of this stuff is for gas stations. Right. We don't have a gas station. But we have to fill it out so that they know what we have. And we got to let them know if we're, what type of an owner we are, how we're taking financial receipts. A lot of this just applies to commercial operations. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, sort of, yeah.
Yeah. I'll get with Bart on that because he's pretty up to date on all that stuff. And I just want to make sure that it's done properly. Kevin, do you have something on cinder usage?
Not really. You know, cinders is kind of a conundrum. Consensus is where you put them is if they're even relative or not. You put them on a slope surface, they're going to be at the bottom next week. If you put them on a flat surface and it makes them into the mud over a course of years, there seems to be some benefit to them.
Yeah, there was a lot of cinders that were put down on slide where it was mud, no gravel or anything, just mud. And it seemed like it made the road a little bit better when it was damp.
For 2 years, that was in.
Yeah.
For 2 years.
So there's kind of this what do we do with them question.
I think before we use any cinders, we need to go back to Dale and ask Dale if the offer is still open. Because when I spoke to him on Monday, he said he was rescinding the offer because nobody took him up on it.
Oh, well, that would be different.
That'll change next week when he says
exactly. No, if you call him and ask him, the answer will change. So, yeah. But just before we.
Well, and I think that was the main reason I just kept it on the agenda was that last we talked to you, we were going to maybe try and see if you can work anything out. But
I'm happy to have them in that sort of half a mile right off of my driveway. It's a mud road. Mm-hmm. I'd be happy to have them there for a couple of years. I think everybody on the ranch uses that portion of road to get to the forest. The amount of side-by-side traffic I see on my cameras, the number of trucks, the hunters, so I'm happy to have them there. There's lots of people using the road. And based on what we saw in other areas of slide, it seemed like they helped for a little while. If you get stuck in the rain, you will literally slide off the road at 0 miles an hour.
No.
And and the cinders seemed like it was better to travel across.
Anything you put on slime is bad.
Exactly. Yeah. Top of clay helps.
So when I talked to him, he was willing to pay to actually have it hauled down too. And that was the benefit or the thing that I saw that was a benefit. If we could even just pick a spot and say, go dump them all here. And then as you have time or whatever, we can spread them or do a group project or something. The
oak tree that fell down on Slide Canyon Road over the winter, blocking where people would normally park their side by sides right there at the end of the road.
Is that right up by your driveway?
It's right at my driveway. And
you cut it for firewood?
If I would have, it's rotted. That's why it came down. If I would have had time this week, I would have moved it myself. But it's a little bit bigger than my equipment. And I just did not have a single minute extra. I had to put a culvert in. And that was good.
That sounds good.
Well, the way you worded it, I'm like, no way he dug down my hat.
So do we want to leave it, I guess, as a secretary, do we leave it on the agenda? Do you want to follow it up or just?
Yeah, give Dale a shout. And if he's rescinded the offer, then so be it. You know, I mean, it's one of those
where do we put the needle for the pain? You know, there's so much road stuff that needs to be happening in major repairs. That's the focus. You know, I would rather fix big spots and have them fixed for a number of years to come than focus on putting Band-Aid on a bleeding nub that's just going to need another Band-Aid next week.
So if it was hauled down to that area that you're talking about, do you have equipment to spread it?
I mean, I can go.
And or do the neighbors?
I could probably do from if it was up by me, kind of goes gravel again before it gets to Christina. And I could do like from me to, I think, 210. So I could do about 3/4 of a mile or a mile, maybe a little bit less. I don't know. But I mean, it's just, I just have a little end loader and a little, box
blade.
Box blade, yeah.
Well, that could be dumped too to spread it.
That's the thing. I think it could just be dumped. You just open the gap at the dump and you just drive the truck. And that's,
and you're
usually
spread it pretty good.
It'll be really good like that. Yeah.
Something like, because that's pretty flat.
And if you want to leave a resource there right at the end of, like, in that spot.
I mean, if Dell's going to pay for it and he's willing to pay for that stuff, it seems like it'd be a no brainer for us just to.
If you have a pile there, then. As time goes on, if it degrades, then I'll spread some out.
Yeah. Well, I'll see if we
can. Hey, everyone, I have some people here to work on our. We had some electrical issues, smoking sockets and stuff last night, and they're here to work on it. So I'm going to have to run.
Okay, we've only got a couple of agenda items left. I can run through them for you, Kurt.
Okay, thank you very much. You all have an awesome month.
Hey, Kurt, are we doing an executive session then or no?
I was going to do one, but I think we need to wait until Michael finishes his research.
Okay.
Well, we need Bart back too, probably too, right?
Yeah.
So maybe schedule something early next week
or whatever we can.
Well, you're going to be gone.
I'm screwed for next week.
Yeah. No good times.
We'll figure it out through email.
Yeah, because we still need to hold.
Or maybe Friday.
Yeah, because we all still need to get on the same page on the contract and stuff with Ezra and all that kind of fun stuff. And,
yeah, there was a couple of things that we need to talk about. Yeah.
Okay. Thanks, guys.
See you later.
See you later.
So, Cinder's with the last item there, but you had your item that you wanted to talk about with the.
I see Larry is loading up the gravel pit with equipment. We drove through, it's just loaded full.
Yeah.
Is he going to be working on the bypass road anytime soon?
I don't know what Larry's schedule is. He's an independent contractor. That's his gravel pit and his equipment. He does with it what he wills. You know, all I can do is, like any other customer, submit my request for work and wait in the loop until he gets back with us and says, I'm ready to do this project. And that's where we are right now. We're in the waiting process. Of course.
Just like touch base and ask him where his mind is going with that.
The bypass around the gravel pit. I'll reach out to him and see what, if anything. Of course, this is his busy season. This is when the man makes his money. So.
All right, I know he's just gonna say I'll get to it on Tuesday, but.
You know, it's usually Tuesday turns into Thursday a week and a half later, but it does get done, and it's just a patience game. Unfortunately, he's the only reasonable contractor out here. You know, we can pay a $2,000 delivery fee for a piece of equipment and then, you know, several hundred dollars an hour more to get the same job done if we're impatient. And with limited funds, we need to be as patient.
So that actually, that combination of that and the comment you just made actually brings something to mind that I've been pondering as I was up on the deck of cabin 7, looking down over 2 end loaders that are parked over here, and a really nice dump truck, and some other equipment that I don't know who owns it. If it's DSR OA property, then I mean, those are 2 pretty nice size end loaders.
Backhoes are. I think the other one's yours, right?
One's mine. One's Dave Turley's, and their dump trucks are Ranch's.
Okay, so the end loaders aren't ours. So I was curious about what equipment is here,
We have a
equipment on Broad Hollow that has been there for 15 years. It's a bit of an eyesore. Fortunately, I don't live over there. But you drive.
Yeah, that's privately owned.
You drive past it every day.
Yeah.
Someone does own it.
Yeah. It's yard art.
Hey, it's a yard.
It's yard art. Okay.
I think it's owned by like three people, right? Three co-owners.
Yard art.
They parked it and then it's been.
Is that its planned use as yard art?
I guess. I don't think so. I think it broke down and it just kind of.
So when I looked at property 16 years ago, that's where it was parked.
Kind of like the old well drilling truck that was over.
Hey, that got relocated to a different place.
That's the different yard.
That's in this live junkyard.
So the fire mitigation stuff, did you want to go over that?
Yeah. So Thursday, I had a chance. I had an appointment to meet with Nick Dashdrupt, the DNR representative. He's a biologist. His responsibility is to help ensure that his areas of responsibility have access for fire crews. And so they want to come out. He's applying for a grant to do fuels mitigation and road works to improve access for crews if the need ever arose for them to come out. And he said what they would do is it would be a contract between the landowner and the state, and the state would manage the contractor, and they will clear, I believe it's 10 yards on each side of the road. And they can also go onto people's property or into other areas. And they can do handwork, or they can do something more aggressive if it calls for it. And it's really at the landowner's control. So we told him, like, we like the conifers. We don't want to see the evergreens get taken down. He says, that's fine. We can leave the evergreens. But that gives them decent roads to bring equipment up. They will even build some roads. So we've talked about out by me. There's only one way in and one way out. But if we connect my driveway to the neighbor's driveway, that joins Slide Canyon to that ridge road where Benson is. So I would encourage people to reach out to Dashdrupt, make contact, get your appointment, tell them that you're interested. And especially the people in Slide, I think there's a really good opportunity there to add a safety feature to the ranch. And also make it possible to get equipment in there if the need ever did arise. Yes, sir.
Just so everybody knows, I'm meeting with them on my lot on Wednesday morning at 9 o'clock. And he said he's meeting with several other owners that same day. So on the 13th, he's going to be out here.
Yeah. And I spent about 2 hours with him. So after we got done at my place, I took him around. I took him up by Benson's. We took him past Christina's place. Showed him some of the other areas in the ranch that he probably wouldn't have seen otherwise. Introduced him to Philip, and I forget who else is up there with Philip. We stopped to see Tammy, but she was out hurting her thumb. And I wasn't sure about you, Christina, if you were there or if the dog was around or whatever. So we drove by, but we didn't stop at your place. But I told him, you know, that I'd let everybody know. And then his application for the grant doesn't have to be submitted, I think he said, until October or November. So he'd be willing to come out to the September annual meeting and do a presentation, answer questions. And so I told him what we'd be interested in that. So he would probably either Zoom in or potentially come down, but probably Zoom in. But we could get his participation in the annual meeting.
Tom, does that mean the work isn't going to get done until next year?
Yeah, it would be a 2027 project.
Okay.
So the grant goes in, I think, October, November, and then it gets approved in the spring, and then he starts working.
Okay.
And there's no cost. It's all being paid for by the grant. And like I say, I think, you know, thinning out certain areas. So we did drive up to your place, Tammy, and he looked at your lot, and he's like, there's a little bit of thinning here, but we wouldn't have to do a lot, but we could do stuff here, and he could send a hand crew in. My lot has a lot of oak thickets. He's like, if you take down oak thickets, they come back thicker. So if you don't have a mower or something to manage it with, kind of would probably leave it alone. Fortunately, I have a mower that can do that.
They'll leave the conifers. He said, basically, when we got down to the bottom of my driveway where the ponderosas are, he said, this area, I love this area. Ponderosas are wonderful for the environment and they can withstand fire. So we don't really mess with them. But what we would do is we would make the area look like it had a fire. So we would take down some of the 4-inch trees and let the bigger trees continue to grow and flourish. So it sounded like it was delicate. It's not like the mess that we had on Meadow Canyon. It sounds very targeted and very delicate, and the landowner has some control. One thing the board does need to investigate, because I didn't know at the time, but their association-owned roads that go through private property, so who has the right-of-way? Because if the association has the right-of-way, we don't need the landowner's permission to do the widening of the roads or the cutting, the edging the roads.
We'll have to, I mean, I would think that the roads are kind of grandfathered in, but I mean, the only easement we have is on the lot lines.
Okay. And that, and that's
from
what
a, from an actual
presumed when we were discussing is that each landowner then would get a contract that Nick would present. He'd do a whole, he'd tell you basically what the plan is, ask you for your commitment, and then you commit, then he contracts the state to come in and do that work on your land.
So along with, but that kind of brings up the question I was having, like it would be nice to improve pipeline going out as another exit. Yeah, we've talked about making that a focus of ours, but would they put money to clearing the brush and stuff on the sides of things of that road? And so we could, as maybe an HOA, request that and then try and get approval from all the owners.
He just needs to talk with the people that own the land that can speak for it. And when we went between sort of where you're at and where Ron's at, when you go east-west, that's actually on state property. It's owned by part of the education system. But he already knew the players. He already knew who was responsible for that. And he said, yeah, we do things different than they do, but for this area where it doesn't really affect them, they're never going to come up here. He says, I'd probably just include that in my grant. He can't do anything with National Forest. So on my north border, there's nothing he can do there. But
I'm just thinking, I wonder if it would be beneficial for us to contact all the members on slide or something and say, hey,
I think we should broadcast it, you know, to back up the notice that went out earlier. We should broadcast it out to the membership that he's willing, ready, and able, and we just have to tell him that we want to participate.
Well, I'm thinking from a board perspective, we might want to push it a little bit more on certain areas. If it turns out okay, I'm a little bit nervous, like Kevin, from the last time it was kind of a mess, but...
Still a mess.
Yeah. Different project, different group, and my conversation with him, I thought it sounded very...
They sounded really good coming in, though, last time, right. Too.
Well, because I said, hey, we, you know, when we've had work done, we've left conifers. We like the cedars. We like the pines. And he says, yeah, I agree with you. And if I had land, I would treat it the same way. And we can totally do that.
So just to kind of clarify, too, when you talked to him, Jeff, he said there was multiple options, grant being one of them. Mm-hmm. But there was also options to actually pay crews. Mm-hmm. At a certain rate or something along those lines. Did you discuss any of that?
So I asked him what the fees were, and he said this is a grant, and the landowner will not pay anything.
In that scenario.
It's approved.
Yeah.
The DNR is getting the grant from the state, and the state, with their fire budget, they're choosing to do some of this fuel mitigation stuff. So between the state and the DNR, the funds are being made available to do things like this.
But he sent me paperwork to fill out for doing like NCRS grant money.
Right. So each lot owner was going to have to do their own grant.
That's not what I understand.
Maybe he's changed his.
Well, I think there's multiple approaches. I wonder if there's ways that you can just get it done maybe even sooner with NCRS or.
Well, because he was telling me that I could apply for county money because the county has money. I could apply for NCRS money or I could just pay. So then when I was asking him, well, okay, well, what if I just pay? What does that look like? So then he's like, oh, it's like $300 an acre for the equipment or $150 an acre for hand crews.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I think that's similar to the numbers that he said to me, but
He said his grant was gonna pay those fees, but he kind of took us through. Yeah, it's, you know, it's $100 or a couple hundred bucks for a hand crew, and it's a little bit more if he brings the machine in. And if there's enough people in one area, he would bring a machine in. And if there's only a couple people, he would bring in a hand crew.
Right. Well, because my struggle with just signing up for it is every single day I'm out there doing it myself.
Yeah.
So every day my property changes. Right. So what is it going to look like in 2027? I might not need anybody to come in because I might have it done.
Yeah.
So I don't even know how to apply.
Biggest concern I have is what is left in the aftermath, whether that be slash piles that have to be dealt with.
Yes.
Or masticated material that plugs up culverts and wrecks roads. And that's.
Well, we still have piles up here under the.
Yes, so all of that, when I talk to him, all of that is your responsibility. It's private property, right? They will come through with hand crews and drop whatever you want dropped.
Are you in the blue zone or the high risk zone?
They're going to come right up to our back property.
They back up to the current project.
So that current project they're doing
is your land in that designated high risk that just came out earlier this year.
I don't know.
My lot is definitely in that zone, and maybe that's the difference.
I don't know.
Because where we are is designated in that was blue on that map that got shared, the map where they were showing the high-risk areas, and people need to think about being out there because it is high-risk. He also said, because he's a biologist and he studied the trees, he said... Ponderosa forests usually burn every 10 to 15 years. Deer Springs Ranch hasn't burned for 100 years.
Oh, we're way past it.
We're way past it.
If that's what you're getting at, I'll say it.
And so I know other people, it's probably very similar, closer, further away, but I've had 3 fires within 5 miles of my place that were, you know, thousands of acres.
Right.
The West Fork, the France and the Deer Springs fire were all within 5-10 miles of my place.
Right.
Were you here that 1 year? There was one that way, and
there was one in Arizona that we could see. Uriah. And then I don't remember, but when we were here, we were in cabin 3 and we could see the Arizona fire. Yeah. And it looked close. And sometimes the smoke was at us and sometimes it was away. So,
well, to finish answering Kevin's question, the way I understood it was they will come through. If they use equipment, mm-hmm. it's going to just be obliterated, just kind of like up there. If they do hand crews, they just drop trees, thin whatever you want thinned, and you have to deal with what is left behind. They're not taking it away. They're not going to burn it. It's because it's private property.
It's your
problem.
Yeah. I wonder if there's a distinction between the high risk zones that they've identified and not, because that wasn't the conversation that I had with him, but
no idea.
Yeah, so maybe a good question to follow up with him is what's left behind. And do you know if your lot is in one of the?
I don't know.
Okay, he will know. He uses the full Onyx, so he knows all the property lines and who owns them and everything. Pretty sharp kid.
Well, after going out and looking around out there, I'm not. Even if I have them help me do stuff, I'm not going to use equipment because it leaves too big a chunks behind. And then if you want to come back later to mow or try to make a quad trail or do all these things, it's like almost like firewood.
Yeah,
it's just too big. I'm being way more particular than that. So I would have to have hand crews. Like it would, if I was to have them help.
Will rot sometime in like 2379.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I assume maybe. The equipment is going to leave it how it is out on Scoot and Paw, how they're doing it out there. I think that's what it's going to be. Well,
I was kind of more interested in the roads, if they're widening roads, making them more accessible, stuff that way. I'd be interested to see what they're trying to do with that. I mean, if they'll actually come in and grade and plow, you know, actually widen the road, pipeline might be a good place to clear
the sides of the road, not necessarily widen it, but they would clear 10 yards. So that creates,
but even that would make it easier for a grader to get up and down and, you know, get rid of some of the,
it's difficult for a fire to jump 60 feet. So it's it's 10 yards on both sides.
And then you have the road.
So it's a break and you have the road and you can get the equipment in and out and you can see around corners. It's actually, it'd be much safer for driving around the ranch if those sides of the roads were cleared.
Well, I'm just thinking, you know, two ways out, right?
Yeah.
That pipeline's the north way out for half the ranch. So I think having that.
Yeah. I mean, Christina has no way out. If there's a fire at Tammy's, Christina has no way out.
Until you put your road through.
Until somebody puts my road through. It's not on my property. It's on the rancher's property to the west of us.
Gotcha.
And but we have had permission from him in the past. The problem was the people to the south of me, which I've heard two stories now. I've heard that owner has also passed away and the family has no interest in the land that was left to them. So I don't know if that place is dormant again or not.
Well, so in interest of time, that was our last topic. Do we round table? Anybody got anything that they want to?
I want to respond to Mike, who sent an email asking about the process for introducing new topics.
Yep.
So we do a member comment section at the beginning of the meeting. We do ask that it's relative to the agenda. The reason is because whatever you're about to ask us, we might not be prepared because we haven't had a chance to think about it or research it. So that's why email us things, or if you bring something up new during a meeting, we'll probably have to put it on the next agenda just so that we are prepared to respond to you.
Understand. If you email us beforehand, you know, give reasonable time, right? Hopefully we can respond, but we at least let you know, hey, we can't get it on this month, so we'll get it on next month. Yeah. Or...
Okay. That makes sense. I got one quick question.
Yep.
Not on the agenda, but do we know when the fish are going to be delivered, day and time?
Well, I was about to. Since you asked that question, I'll go ahead and answer it now, May 18th.
Okay.
So.
Are you going to have a fish lunch? That was Larry.
Yeah, Larry had a nice.
I have no answer for fish fry, but Larry did reach out and let me know because I'm technically the wildlife fish pond guy, but I'm not. Larry said he would handle that, so he did let me know the 18th.
If he'll do it again.
Text Larry right now and ask him. Here. He told us last year he was going to do it again.
Here he said.
Mm-hmm.
I'll say, poor Larry's busy, 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 you know, mm-hmm. always.
She likes to screw off, though.
Of course he does.
We just got to give him an excuse.
Kevin, did you have anything else?
Just briefly on the roads, Larry and I have a project we're working on up on Slide. I told Tom about it earlier. That area between you and Christina, where the road is washed out seriously down that sandy area, there is a plug in the ravine or the wash up there that is rolling all that water back on the road. That's the reason that's so bad.
The big wash.
Okay. There's a plug up there.
That's our other... Part of it's on our other lot.
Yeah.
There was a problem there.
I don't know exactly where it's at. I authorize Larry, as long as it fits in that $500 capital expenditure, do it. If it's going to exceed that, get with me for board approval. And then after that, there is a plan to do some grading and stuff up there, but that's a follow-up. So the main thing is get the water off the road first and stop the damage.
Do you know who that is? What was the project he's talking about?
It's in that wash along there. I personally didn't go up there and see it, but I saw the area that he was talking. So if you're going up there, you'll see that heavy washout area along that sandy area in the wash just above that, because the water's pushing up and onto the road.
Well, he's graded the road now. He's graded the sandy road. So now the road is about twice as wide as it was last year, and
he may have already removed.
So I don't know if the drainage has been addressed, but the road is actually. Yeah.
I'll reach out to him and find out the exact nature of that. But that was on our list of things to accomplish. So, but kind of like I said earlier, you know, you put it on his list and you wait. So.
Anything else?
Hey, Kate. Yeah, Kate.
Yeah.
Are you there?
Yes. Can you hear us?
Okay. I know this probably should have belonged in member comment, but this is Vance at 156, by the way. I was waiting to see if you guys would cover it in your fire discussion. What rules, restrictions, whose are we following right now on fire?
So currently, per the current rules and regulations that are out there, there's no fires allowed on common area. And then we follow the normal fire restrictions for your own lot, as far as your lot and everything else is concerned. So
you mean normal as in what the county says or the fire warden said?
Correct.
Okay. The reason I'm bringing it up is we have it's extremely dry, and we're coming up on Memorial Day, which has historically been when bad things happen with people building fires where they shouldn't. Okay. So what I would suggest, and Mike, I'm sorry if this is dumping on you as a website thing, or if you're even still in range, someone needs to find where the county stashes that information on a web page and link to it from our web page and say, we follow the county. Here's what they're saying we should be doing right now. Don't leave it to the people to go, oh, I didn't see anything. You know,
it's linked in the rules.
It is linked in the rules, but we can.
The rules don't say, as of this date, you cannot do this. That's not what the rules say. That's what needs.
The link to the officials get it posted is there
to the homepage.
Yeah, we can post it. And we've done pretty good as it changes to actually post it on Facebook and all those others as well. So
that's what I'm getting at. But yeah. it would be better if there was a link on our official condensed page, like, we follow these fire restrictions, click here.
Yeah. So the other suggestion that was made last time, I think Tina made it, was it would be nice to have a sign or something that lists the current fire danger per whatever, just as a reminder as people are even driving in onto the ranch. So
we talked about the
arrow thing.
Even doesn't need to be professionally made, some kind of sign on a stake. It is driven right into the fire pits at the cabins saying, hell no.
There's no fire pits.
Fire pits have been kicked away.
Yeah, but they rebuild them.
So as far as like the main, like Scootumpaw Meadow Canyon, maybe the county would post signs.
We can look into them. They already do a little bit, but
big ones, yeah, like you pass on the way here.
Don't wait for anybody else. We gotta take care of ourselves on this. I am tired of seeing big fires on my doorstep.
Yeah.
So we do have two fire pits that are approved when the fire restrictions are not allowed. That's the one down here at headquarters, and then the one with the water next to it up by the lower cabins. But other than that, there's no other approved fire pits on common area. I got in trouble last year for doing a propane fire pit, so we rules need to have that clarified a little bit too. But we can even remind them on that kind of scenario as well, as it, you know, fire restrictions.
Yeah, I realize you got a committee working on it, Caden, and I applaud you for that. But what's going to happen right now, right here?
Understood. Yeah, we'll start getting those notices out and linked.
Now that you have the ability, or will that be set up in short order to send an email, that would be a great way to notify the
members,
membership of what the fire restrictions are. Yep. And
we need to be, this is probably our most necessary proactive thing we need to do right now.
Okay, I'll try and monitor that by Vance. If you see it, email me, and if we see a change in it.
Yeah, everybody sort of look around. If you see like on the county website or anything like that, state or anything else saying we're in, there's a, hopefully they update
stage
it.
Whatever. Yeah.
We just have to link to it. A page that says we're in XYZ stage fire restrictions right now.
Yeah, but they may start it earlier this year. We'll see. Just as dry as it is. Thanks,
it's
man.
Everything's blooming a month early. Rattlesnakes were out in April. 6 weeks earlier than usual. So.
Okay. Definitely we'll comment on that. It was included in the minutes too.
If I can find the link, I'll send it to Michael so he can include it on the website.
Sounds good.
Just send it to the board guys, so everyone has it.
Everybody keep looking.
Well, we like I said, I think we got a main link that we already have available in the rules, but there's other links too that we can maybe send out to everybody to monitor.
Unfortunately, I don't think that we can post what they're posting. We can only link to it because ideally, we would post,
reproduce. Yeah.
Like print a sign and put it on the bulletin board, stage one and stage two, and then just have an arrow which one we're at.
Yeah, we can do some notification here, maybe.
Sounds good. I've got a couple signs I'm already asked to make, so maybe I can work on something. Other board members, just normal round robin. Is there anything else that you guys need to bring up?
No.
Hey, Michael, you good? Are you still there?
I think he
went out of service.
I think he went out.
Kurt left.
Yeah.
Okay, anybody here have anything else or anybody online? Tammy?
I brought up a couple months ago about seeing if the BLM or whatever firefighters cover this area about giving them a cabin to use. So there's somebody out here. Has anybody looked into any of that?
We have not. I'll make sure it gets put on our agenda.
There's a truck full of water and some guys that know how to use it out here. We don't have to wait an hour for them to get out here.
I'm not sure that they staff it that way, but we can always ask, right? But they staff a little bit differently.
But if they have the option, they might change how they staff too.
Yeah.
Or as things get more risky, they might be out.
They might be happy to have a place to.
Yeah, they might be happy to have a place.
So. Yeah. Look. We'd also have to. We'd also have to find the cabin that we could offer them. That's not already rented. Only until June.
Yeah, tell them to bring a cat.
Well, they do say the best way to keep them out is to have it occupied, right? So.
Yeah, ultimately, that's the best deterrent to rodents, occupation of humans. We need to have them occupied more, not less.
How about a bleach moat?
Bleach moat.
Yeah.
That'll kill the scrub out, too.
Don't they just jump over it? They jump pretty far, I think.
Depends on how big your moat is.
They kind of stay away from bleach if they smell it.
No. Maybe.
Okay, anybody online?
I have a question, Kate.
Go ahead.
There was some talk about having some lessons on the fire truck, especially for the full-timers that are always here. Like when Rod Johnson's cabin burnt, the fire truck was empty, the fuel tanks, there was no water in it. I think
batteries were dead.
Took over an hour.
Batteries were dead. We had to hunt for the keys that... maybe there should be a trickle charger on there or something to keep the batteries up with a solar panel. But I thought we were going to instruct people how to actually use that. I mean, it's sitting there. I wouldn't have any idea how to get it up on my lot.
You got a little bit of a primer with Brent, didn't you?
Mm-mm.
Is that when we were out there?
Me.
You did too?
How to run it. I've been using it about every other day to fill the water troughs.
Okay. Yeah,
that was Brent's plan, is to have you use the water for watering so it gets run.
So if I come down when you water, I can watch what you're doing?
Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly.
Are the keys in it? Or
keys are left in it. I have unhooked the batteries because it has a battery draw. It'll run itself dead.
Okay.
So I can show you how to just hook up the batteries real quick. I could start it in less than
5 minutes. So I'd be in favor of giving... 1 hour diagnosis time to Ezra to diagnose the parasitic draw. And if you can fix the parasitic draw, then I have a couple of little solar panels. They put out about 4 amps. You just plug them into a cigarette socket, or you could cut it off and wire it in. I'd be happy to just donate that if that helps.
That would help.
Would a battery disconnect be?
It has one.
Oh.
Somebody must have put an additional wire to the battery that still...
Yeah, parasitic draw is a different animal.
Yep.
Sure. Aftermarket, you know how to diagnose those, don't you?
Not a lot of times.
Yeah, you and me both. So,
I propose the board.
I would second that.
Make an hour's worth of diagnosis funds available to Ezra for that.
Thanks.
How much is that?
I don't know. Was it $100, $150 an hour?
My company normally charges $150.
So,
I can that at yeah. here at the ranch, I'd do 100.
Yeah, not as the manager, but as the Ezra repair.
Easy company. Lube and Services is my service.
Easy Lube, yeah.
I second that motion.
Aye.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. We got four remaining board members. That's enough of us to approve it. Okay.
That's a quorum.
Quorum. I don't think the others have much heartburn over $100 for fire truck repairs.
Yeah, I'm pretty, pretty confident they'd be.
So it sounds like coordinating with Ezra to get, and it probably wouldn't be other full timers that are available. You guys want to get trained up on it?
I think the more the merrier. I mean, because that fire at Rod Johnson's was spooky.
Well, you were up there with us, and didn't get to see how to work it either, right? I didn't get to see how to work it.
Second tutorial, pop this, pull that, push that, and away you go. And right. I'm like, okay, that stuck like nothing. Yeah.
During a fire is not a good
thing. I thought I was going to get to have fun, too, because he's like, hey, jump up there and work the water cannon. I'm like, oh, and then okay.
It wouldn't work.
So we get up there, and he's like, all right, I'm going to fire it up. And then I'm like, there's nothing coming out. He's like, well, pull that valve. So I pull the valve, and the water's just pouring out on the ground. I'm like, I don't think that's right.
Yeah. I definitely need to know how it works. And thank God it's being exercised and started and, kept diesel fuel in it and all that. That's great.
I mean, we probably should take a military approach to it and have some signage or laminated, something that's flipped into that area of the truck.
To remind you.
To remind
pictures
you,
and
you know what I mean, like a little instruction panel
checklist,
pre-flight checklist.
Pre-flight not here that knows how to work it. Somebody needs to work it if there's a fire going on.
Well, I think it's a good reminder because you're gonna get taught and then you're not gonna do it for 6 months.
Yeah,
maybe some,
or hopefully ever.
Well, hopefully ever, but
you'll never need that knowledge.
So I'd like to make a motion that we go ahead and end the official meeting. If people want to stick around and keep on talking fire trucks and other stuff, we can do that. But
aye.
Seconded, and then all in favor?
Aye.
Okay. People are on the phones if you want to stick around and overhear what everybody else is talking about. But
thanks, official meeting's done. For your participation.
For organizing food.
Yeah, the people that weren't here in person, we had great food. So
I started out as a second generation.
I thought it was going to be all sweet foods again. So I'm like, let's make eggs and sausage. See, great minds. We think alike, right?
A lot of DD cars.
I'm getting these little bugs that I keep calling.
Fly, either ethanol, any car. Or the Mercedes Benz. And I did a lot of vintage racing. So everything from Pan Am car to Zodiac 2004, into the Shadows, to 1000 cars.
Or the Phoenix then.
Yeah, but I also did some drag racing, and then I worked for a company in St. George. I did all the marketing for them. And we built aftermarket chassis. So we could actually make it.
What is that? Something tech?
Speed tech,
yeah.
So I was.
I've done some Speed Tech chassis work on cars that I built. I did a 79 Trans Am, the 41 Speed Tech set, very 9-inch.
So like a clutch arm set up with the front subframe.
Yeah, the whole thing.
The suspension is on those are just really dialed, very well engineered. The torque arm is really good. I think, it's very well engineered. If I was doing my own car, I'd probably throw away from the hardware. I throw all that shit away and I get fresh hardware. But the guts of it right there. And it's really nice. I know a little bit about chassis setup for running.
Well, I did a lot of chassis stuff, but mine was all dirt late model.
Okay.
Which is a whole totally different animal.
Yeah.
You know, because you're trying to apply
850-900 horsepower to sleep in bed. You need a lot of motion in order to do that. Floating bird cages, you know, torsional bearings, pull bars, and you're actually your own. pull bars, right?
Yeah,
off the top of your your quick
game. Yeah, pull rod suspension. So, I guess when I started with pull rods, they were.
Need any more food before they?
And if it's underset, you're just going to blow the back tires off.